All right, welcome back, one and all, and wherever you are around the country. Many of you are watching the same things happening in your countries and your communities as we are here, especially if you've been heavily injected, shall we say. And just to keep the record clear, 13 billion injections have been given around the world, not all from Pfizer. Pfizer accounted for about 67% of all the injections given, and Moderna was close behind, and then J&J and AstraZeneca, you know the game. So we've got 13 billion shots. Here in the U.S., it's over 600 million for 330 million people, and that means we got a lot of problems here, lots. 70% of Americans are fully vaxxed. That's 2 plus 1 at least, and many have more than that. There are a lot of people now complaining about, I'm seeing this more and more and hearing it, short-term memory loss, but it's worse than that. We're going to spend some time this evening talking about that, among many other things as well. Are you there, kiddo?
I am here, Jeff.
There she is. It's always comforting to hear your voice. I know I'm not going to fail. This is a difficult thing to do, simply because there is so much of it. There are so many things that we don't even talk about that are potentially and obviously designed to be catastrophic for the body. And yet all of these people who are commenting on social media, most of them call this a failed vaccine or something along that line. Whenever you see the word vax or vaccine being used, be careful, because that's not the paradigm we should be talking about. We don't live in that paradigm. We live in a paradigm of being victimized as a species by a viciously deadly satanic biological weapon. It's not a vaccine. It's nothing to do with a vaccine. So all these big shot media docs and things is calling it a vaccine by any stretch of their conversational range, they're wrong. They're just wrong. So there.
Yeah, I would say that's a pretty good litmus test of
who's telling you the truth, or who's informed.
And who's part of the, the agenda.
The mechanism, the matrix. Yeah, and believe it. A lot of these big, well-meaning, well-spoken doctors, physicians, and scientists are making lots of money to do what they do. I'm not saying they're all compromised, but I'm saying money does strange things to people. It'll make them do things they otherwise might not do. So we have a video to start out with. You want to start out with the video? Is that what you want to do?
Or did you want to relate your interesting story?
Yeah, we have a big spike, pun intended, in fatal automobile accidents in a number of states around the country caused by medical emergencies. And Erica monitors the EMS dispatch all the time, emergency medical services, and there's so many calls for medical emergencies. To our ears, that almost invariably means vax, bioweapon, injuries. And these people are driving all the time. And we're going to talk a little bit about people who are having obviously cognitive functionality problems. They're losing it. It's being taken away from them. Their brains are being destroyed. I'll just cut to the chase. Here's this story now. Medical emergencies just in the past week have seen cars crashing catastrophically in many cases in Connecticut, Ohio, Virginia, Arizona, Massachusetts, Canada, and overseas as well, UK, Italy. The New York Times tried to explain all of this away, this current spike in fatal car accidents, by focusing exclusively on the U.S., although, again, this spike is happening around the world. And secondly, they were ascribing it to the lockdown, even though that ended a couple of years ago, and or cell phones, despite their use for many years before this deadly uptick began. So we've got vaccidents happening all over the place. Lots of vaccidents. And you're not going to hear them described as such on the mainstream media. It just won't happen. Not going to happen. So from that, and it's part and parcel of the same thing, these injections are destroying the human brain. We've talked about that a lot recently. Prions, I think you all understand the rudiments of that, how prions are caused, formed by spike protein activities in the cells. And spike loves the brain, gets into those cells and causes any number of normal proteins to misfold. And at that point, they become deadly to the cell. They'll kill the cell, and the cell dies. And just like in the heart, brain cells are not replicated. They're not replaced. You got a hole, a little teeny hole. And if you have a whole bunch of little teeny holes, you have a big hole. And that will begin to manifest itself observably in your behavior, your speech, your activity, etc. Your cognitive decline has begun. And reading about CJD and all of these terrible, terrible cases of people who apparently, CJD quickly used to run around 9 to 10 years before it would eventually be fatal for most people or even diagnosable. Now we're seeing it in a matter of weeks and months. It's turbo CJD, like turbo heart and turbo cancer and turbo all kinds of things. So you got turbo cancer, turbo CJD, and you got problems. Memory loss. Now, that was something we did talk about a couple of weeks ago, and I thought we should revisit that to give you an idea out there of how many people are suffering from this and how it very well may tie into a lot of these vaccidents. If you have memory and cognition problems, you're demented, you shouldn't be driving. You shouldn't.
I agree.
But
you know, these
people are
truly a menace to themselves and other people on the road.
And people are dying. Lots of people are dying. It's just not talked about. Now, do you have this email in front of you with all the memory loss readers?
I can.
Let me know when you get it.
Okay.
These are from people posting about their problems or their loved ones' problems on social media. And Erica's a wizard at going through these things and collating them and putting them together to read. These are people complaining about cognition failure. Not just short-term memory loss, but general big problems. And yet they're still driving, they're still functioning, they're still going to work. But things are getting worse. Did you find them?
Yes.
All right, on the top left, go ahead and take that first block. There's four of them there, I think.
All right, now let's, you know, for purposes of accuracy, these are people that are not vaxxed. These are people who had the virus, and we know this because they were sick well before the vaccines, in some cases 2019 and 2020. If you remember, the vaccines didn't come out until late 2020, December of 2020. So this person says, how about the memory loss? Feels legitimately like dementia.
May I say this again? Hold on. I didn't mean to interrupt, but this is important. Please keep in mind, these are not vaxxed people.
Yeah.
All right, can you connect the dots? Do we do it together? Let's do it together. These people have been shed upon by the vaxxed.
No. These are people who had the virus.
Yes, but they're unvaxxed.
They're unvaxxed, but this is what happened.
No,
they're
survivors of
the virus.
I get that. Now, I want to make that point, though, that they're... Go ahead. You're on it.
Okay. Someone says, absolutely. I forgot how to do a job I've been doing for years. I also can no longer multitask. One thing at a time. If I get distracted, I forget.
Hold it. Keep in mind, these people, unvaxxed, have survived. They've had COVID. Oh, I had COVID for a week, or I had it for 2 weeks. Some people are struggling with it for many weeks. These are results of simply having the bioweapon virus and getting over it, okay? No shots. Just it's the virus.
Right.
This is most important. Go ahead.
Someone chimes in. I can only do one thing at a time, and if someone talks to me while I'm doing something, I get frustrated. We are women. Multitasking is what we do. This is so frustrating. It is frustrating. I am a director of child care centers with over 200 children and 30 staff. This job is all about multitasking. I have improved, but not anywhere near what I was like before COVID. I feel it aged me 10 years. And the first one says, I believe it does too, but more like 20. I hope you get better. Yeah, this is the one that doesn't write very well. Admit to the nursing home and brain injury place my brother is at. Had long COVID. She's not there anymore. She kept getting sick, so I'm assuming she has long COVID.
All right, let's go back over these just real quickly and make this crystal clear for everyone. These people are still functional in society. They're driving, they're shopping, they're working. One of them is director of a child care center with over 200 children and 30 staff, all right? So she can't multitask anymore. She's complaining about that. The first one, I forgot how to do a job I've been doing for years. I can no longer multitask one thing at a time. If detracted, I think distracted is what she wanted to say. I forget. So this is, people, remember how they were blowing off getting this, it's just like the cold or a light flu and you're over it. No, this does damage. That's why we keep saying you don't want this virus.
One third of the people that got that original Wuhan strain really suffered. And in some cases are still suffering because of the damage that it does to the nervous system, the brain, and, you know, all of the nerves connected to the brain, the spinal cord, periphery nerves.
The spike loves to go into your nervous system, your nerves, your neurology. It loves to go in there, and it creates all manner of damage. This is one of all a weapon. This is one of 100 things we could talk about. It's so many, and that's why the masses will never really catch on. It's too late anyway. It's out. They've done it. They've released it.
Yeah, we're still, you know, seeing its full potential. It hasn't played out yet.
No.
And if this prion thing is a part of it, it's going to be pretty bad, pretty ugly, because, you know, prion disease is progressive, and there are no treatments. Although the pharmaceutical industry is anticipating,
right?
They're prepared for it. In other words, that they've already given out their projections, and they expect about mm-hmm. a 300% increase in
sales.
Prion diseases by 2028.
Sales. It's all about sales. This is really important for all of you to understand. You get that virus, and you need to be very vigilant afterward about yourself and your ability to perform. You'll know. And we're not saying that every single person who gets it immediately manifests the problem, but this virus continues to change. The Japanese have proven that every variant of the COVID virus has made in the lab, released. Now we've got JN1 out there, which they say is minimal symptoms, but very fast to be spread from person to person. It's highly contagious. That's what they're saying about it, JN1. What does that mean? Why so few symptoms all of a sudden? And Eric has got the punchline here. Think about this. This new, very fast spreading subvariant, JN1, creates virtually no symptoms. Why not?
Well, it has mutated or been designed to evade the immune response. And the antibodies surely aren't working because, you know, it's changed from what it was 4 years ago. But people should be concerned because the Omicron variant, and JN1 is a subvariant of this Omicron thing, has a high affinity for the nervous system. And it isn't uncommon to have people that think they had a cold and then a couple weeks later begin to suffer neurologically. You know, they're dizzy, they have vision problems.
Vaccidents, think about that. No joke. No joke.
Yeah, and they're scratching their head and wondering what happened.
Yeah, what the hell's wrong with me? All right. 2021, a neuropsych evaluation showed slow executive function memory issues, etc. I couldn't remember if I'd used the bathroom. I couldn't remember if I'd eaten. I couldn't remember how to cut up vegetables, etc., etc. I couldn't drive because I'd get lost going home. I couldn't even remember what town I was in. I'm sure others can relate. That was in 2021. Now it's 2024. It's less short-term issues and more long-term issues now. Most memories of the last 10 years of my life are gone. I'm divorced and been remarried for nearly 10 years. Sometime I look for my ex and begin to cry because I have no idea why we got divorced. Then there's this new guy telling me that he's my husband, yet I've no emotional connection to him. Luckily, this is transient and seems to be connected to my new post-COVID migraine pattern. So the next day, I'll be good again. It's weird, but real. Good news, though, the brain fog is getting better. Jesus, she can't remember she got divorced and has been remarried for 10 years. This is horrific stuff. Now, I ask you, should this person be driving 65 miles an hour in a car with a... No, it shouldn't. These are cognitively damaged people. It's not their fault, but doctors aren't going to tell them this. Nobody's talking about it. Now, we did describe several programs ago about, she says, oh, my screen just flicked. Hold on. Now it's 2024. It's less short-term memory issues and now more long-term memory issues. Most memories of my last 10 years are gone. Those are called biographical memories, and they're usually stored in the hippocampus. We explained how the spike is destroying the hippocampus memory banks, databases. Your memories, your life experiences, are being destroyed in the hippocampus by this horrible, whichever variant you have, it doesn't matter, because all the viruses create spike. You know that. And the spike loves the brain. So we've explained how that happens. But this is a frightening to me. All right, here's another one or two. I wonder if this is happening to other people and if that's what's going to happen to me. I'm so sorry. This has to be scary. And the first poster writes, or is this another one? I hope it doesn't happen to you. I'm hoping that for me is more related to my PTSD. I rebooted my neuronet, and as I joke that I'm done Android-like data from Star Trek, I'm just reading it as it's written. COVID caused all my triggers from past trauma that I'd already dealt with and managed, so I had to work through all that again. In case, though, I'm letting people know so they aren't alone. I'm also hoping memory loss isn't forever, but I worry. There's only so much the brain and spirit can handle. Well, memory loss from the hippocampus, those biographical memories, they're gone. They're gone. They're not going to come back. That's the sad part. Maybe you can kind of re-embed them by reading old letters and looking at old pictures. But can you even remember that that was you and the pictures and what you were doing there? I don't know. This is not good. All right, go ahead with the next one. Oh, my God.
I'm almost borderline Alzheimer's. Like I'm to the point of wanting to be tested as it runs in my family. Man, it is horrible. Getting lost in your neighborhood is scary. Forget short-term memory. It's almost non-existent. Telling people to be patient due to long COVID brain fog is not really understood. Someone says, yep. Another one says, I too get lost in my neighborhood. And it seems to be worse at night. I use OnStar when I get lost, and they have helped me many times.
Now listen to this, everybody. These people are getting lost in their neighborhoods, and they have to use OnStar to get home. Many times. This is a very serious wake-up call. Please go ahead.
Original poster says, that's odd. It's worse for me at night, too. And the other one says, I don't drive at night anymore. I get so turned around when it's dark, even on my own block. I got lost this past summer on an evening walk with my dogs and had no idea how to get home. I used my phone to set my address, and the map instructions got me home. I, too, feel like I have dementia, as things do worsen in the evening, but I still keep going. Just make sure I'm home before dark, kind of like Cinderella.
Wow.
And original poster says, I don't do anything without GPS. It's unreal. And another, it's the same with me. First thing in the day is when I do some stimulating activities for my brain, some simple puzzles, word find. I have some computer games, which are known to help with memory. But by 3 o'clock, my brain goes on sleep mode, and I do not even try to use it because things would just get scrambled and I would get frustrated. And another one. Oh, my goodness, your post gives me so much relief. I do almost the exact same routine as you do, and I felt like I was failing somehow. Thank you so much for sharing this. You will never know what a difference your information makes to me.
All right, and back to the other thread. There was one more there, or two. Oh, my God, I have C, COVID, PTSD. Now, I'm guessing what that means is a lot of people who go through the virus, whichever subvariant, it doesn't seem to matter, they come out the other side feeling like they have PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
I have C, PTSD, and it's done the same to me. I didn't even have emotions for 5 months. Not even facial, my husband said, and I totally forgot all the work I did to heal and had to start all over again. When I center pray, I can't get to my head either. It hurts, but at first it was like sparks and lightning going off, I guess in her mind, in her brain. Back in the beginning of this last month, I went to the hospital because of COPD going to my heart. I have had that now too, but my right leg gave out, and when I got there, I fell out. Couldn't move, but was aware of my surroundings. What is SMH again?
Shaking my head.
Ah, I knew it. I learned that last week, and I've forgotten. I guess I should get worried. Shaking my head. The guy that gave me the EKG left my shirt up over my head. The whole time, shaking my head. When I got back to the room, they checked me for stroke and brain bleed. Reading my tests, the only thing that makes sense is a rare type of Alzheimer's called PCA. I'm going to ask my doctor in February, and I know someone my age that's had COVID-like issues 5 times and now has early onset Alzheimer's. Diagnosed. 5 meetings with COVID as a virus leads to early onset diagnosable Alzheimer's. She started off with driving and not remembering where she was. Shaking my head. How many of us have done that? My husband has too, and won't really admit he has it long. He has it long COVID, but just not as bad as me. He asked me last night when I told him she has that now. I can't read this. This is, am I reading it? He said, what happens if both have that? Go ahead. I give up on this woman.
Yeah,
this
it's woman's really garbled.
This is messed.
He said, what happens if we both have that? Why is he asking that? I said, I guess the people's kids have to handle that. What the hell? He totally scared me because I was not wanting my kids to tell me what to do. They already tried to do that, but I get totally what you are saying about the PTSD, and because of this, I think I'm getting more because this stuff is freaking me out. It's like a scary movie.
Yeah, it is. That emotion thing, H-A-L-E-N to me too.
I think that should be, that emotion thing happened to me too.
All right, happened is spelled H-A-L-E-N. Happened is spelled H-A-L-E-N. This is cognitive dysfunction.
Mm.
This is bad. Like understanding faces. It got so bad I had to close my eyes and ask him to speak slowly, then I might understand. That empty emotions thing is still an issue, but it is still bad. But now I can handle eye contact. Wow. These posts, they don't often make sense because I forget what I write after it scrolls up. Then I forget who I responded to. That's how hard communication is now. Go ahead and finish that off.
Someone says, I did that. I did that in the past, but not anymore. And another one says, it's real. We have a real brain injury, like traumatic brain injury, difficult to cope with for sure. I have hope because I am relearning and having improvements, but it's really, really slow. I don't even see progress month to month, but over 4 to 6 months, there is improvement. I found reading a little every day and playing word games has helped.
Wow. Well, when you see people writing like this poor woman is trying to read through, and she writes, that emotion thing happened to me too, but she didn't write the word happened. She wrote H-A-L-E-N. So you can see what's going on here with these people and through their writing. It's quite clear.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of struggle.
This is bad. And these people, again, not vaxxed, but they did get COVID, the virus, whichever variant or subvariant.
Yeah, and, you know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago. So
what
is
that telling us?
Lingering, you know, well, lingering, the damage that has happened.
I think it's lingering and compounding.
It could be, and I think I've said this with some of the vax-injured people that, you know, were making an effort to overcome their injuries and then suddenly have these setbacks. Now, I don't know, is that just, you know, having good days versus bad days in something that's progressive, or are they coming into contact either with the virus or this, you know, enormous contamination with the shedding now?
Right. And that's a very good statement. Enormous contamination with shedding. That means all of you out there, whether you're vaxxed or not, whether you're vaxxed injured or not, you don't want to be shed on. Nobody wants to be shed. It's going to make things worse. Think about it. We did come across some materials today about people who took we'll get to that in the readers here. Let me get into this video here real quick. We're running late. I can see that already. All right, here's a video from the Children's Health Defense. And this is a woman funeral director. She's probably around 50. Tell us a little bit more and I'll roll it.
Well, we finally have some people in the funeral industry coming forward and talking about what they're seeing. And like our friend John O'Looney, she's seeing more or less the same thing. It's utterly atrocious what's happening.
Yeah. All right, very good. Here we go.
My name is Lauren. I am a board-certified, dually licensed funeral service professional. in the state of Mississippi.
Okay, and so I was just asking you some questions before this to figure out what we're going to talk about today. And
sure.
You had mentioned seeing different things going on during COVID than what your profession looked like prior to
Correct.
COVID. So can you talk about some of those things?
Sure. You know, prior to COVID, you know, the death ranges, we rarely saw infants passing away. Now there's an excessive amount of that happening. And just the death range from infants to elderly, the increase of young people, the increase of elderly people, it's just mind-blowing, the wave of death that the funeral service industry has experienced. And certainly it's all across the state. There have been lots of, need for additional, of course, professionals in this industry, which just aren't there. So,
Just let me stop right there. What she just said is very interesting. The number of children that she's seeing in there, obviously horrific. This is all new. It's all due to the bioweapon attack on the human species. This is what this is doing. Her increase in business in her state is certainly, it's national. It's not just reserved to her state. It's happening everywhere. Are you seeing this in the mainstream media? No, nothing. They're not going to tell you. It's their job not to tell you.
Of course, we feel the burden of that.
And as an embalmer, you said that some of your processes have actually had to change.
Correct.
I'm just curious, and you don't have to answer this if you're not able to, but are you able to see if someone has had the vaccine or not when they come in?
There are some cases that information is given. However, there are cases that it's not given, that information is not given.
Okay. And so you did say you were seeing some irregular clotting and different vascular...
Wouldn't you think that someone who's been delivered to a funeral home for embalming or other mortician services, it should be just a matter of record whether they're vaxxed or not by this time in the game? I mean, they'll get a hospital report perhaps showing cause of death, but every report should indicate vax status, how many shots... any prior issues, to protect the people in this business. I'm sure they're gowned up and gloved up, but for goodness sakes,
you get a body
that's crawling with spike, and you're starting to play around with its fluids and things? Go ahead.
There are specific protocols for dealing with those who have passed from CJD because of its transmissibility.
They do tell the industry workers that. When that mad cow thing came out 25 years ago, there were, I think it was around 20 pages from the CDC that were passed around and sent to every mortician funeral home in the country. And they required people who were working on a corpse, a cadaver, a deceased, a loved one, to wear full gown. And I think they had to have, it was a mask. I don't think it was respirator then. But they had some very heavyweight restrictions put on how they could handle the bodies of the deceased like that. And they're just not, it should be universal now with 80% of the populace here injected, right? 80% of the clientele at these places is going to be injected. So the funeral home directors, they're playing with fire here. That's bad.
Yeah, and just imagine how many bodies they've processed to date.
No.
And, it's just now coming to the fore that there may be prions involved, transmissible.
We can say there are prions involved, and they are transmissible. I don't have any problem personally going out on that little ledge. No problem. Prions are there.
Issues.
Of course. The past couple of years, there's been lots of irregularities. Prior to 2021, You know, the vascular system pretty much was intact on mostly everybody, that I could go in and preserve the body traditionally via just one point. There are some cases, of course, that were unique. However, as time has gone on, the vascular system has become increasingly difficult to work with. It's occluded. There is, you know, no way to preserve the body traditionally as we once did. We're having to go all over the body to preserve, you know, the foot, the hand.
What she's saying is obvious, and I just want to underscore it, though. It used to be they could go into one artery in the body and flush everything, all the blood out, and replace it with preserving fluids. No more. They have to go into multiple locations in the body to try to work through enough of the body to get enough of the blood out in these locations, these zones, so to speak, to replace it with embalming fluid. It's very hard work. They're not able to get... The plumbing is destroyed. Remember, the blood is destroyed and the immune system is destroyed. But when you ruin the plumbing, which is what she's describing here, it's obviously indicative of clotting all over the place, whether they're amyloid clots or microclots, it doesn't matter. They cannot flush the system out like they used to.
Yep.
Also, we have a method that we actually use externally when we are unable to use the vascular system for adequate preservation. The whole practice has changed in that area.
And, of course, you know, this is anecdotal, but why do you think that is?
Why do I think that is?
How could that interviewer ask that question? I'm sorry. That's ridiculous.
I think she's...
After all these years, I know. I know what she's doing. All right. She's just cut right to the chase. But here we go.
There's something that's going into people's bodies that is creating something that doesn't belong there. And ultimately, you know, if it doesn't belong there, then the body doesn't know what to do with it. You know, prior to, you know, whatever's happening here, there are chemicals that we could use to put inside the body that traditionally would break down any blockages that are living in these vessels. Now those chemicals don't work.
These would be chemicals to break down normal blood clotting.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what she's saying. Now the chemicals don't work because most of the clots are amyloid fiber. It's nothing like a blood clot that can be dissolved.
Seeing things that are stay intact. They don't like dissipate like normal. They, you know, keep their integrity and they pull and they're it's not normal. Yeah.
I don't know if you're able to comment on this as well, but have you seen an increase in, you know, younger people's deaths when it comes to different heart issues, myocarditis, or things like that?
Yes. And also, of course, I know people that have developed, you know, those illnesses. So, that are young and should not be experiencing that. Strokes, heart attacks, myocarditis.
Is there anything else you want to tell people about what you're seeing?
I would just like to say that something has changed, and it's affecting a lot of people, and that we just need to think before we just put whatever in our bodies. You know, our immune system is you know, God created us to have an immune system to fight off illnesses. And I think we just need to think critically before we just insert anything into our body.
Okay. Well, she couldn't quite say it, could she? It just went around and around. Something has changed.
I think she's leaving it open to interpretation.
Yeah. I know. I think we're past that point in time, though. We need to start telling it straight. Okay, well, there's another example of how the funeral industry has changed. Compared to John O'Looney, well, I wish we could get more video on John. He's not doing much anymore, is he? Not right now.
I think here and there. He's probably extremely busy.
Well, he wrote back to us a couple of times, but he'd have to get up at 3 or 4 a.m. and to do this, and that's tough. So we try to bring you videos when we find them. But it's a difficult business to be in. I wouldn't want to do it. But, you know, having her tell us that something has changed. Well, thank you. Okay. All right. Next up, we're going to our human file, as if we haven't been there already tonight. So let's see what's going on there. Let's see. I want to go back down here to... did we do the 3 on January 17th, the immune deficiency?
No.
With those... Are you sure? The lady had those 3 tests?
Oh, yeah, we did do that.
COVID?
Did, yeah.
Okay, that's all right. That's what I thought. All right. Where do you want to start? Watch, she's going to tell me wherever I want. Watch. All right.
Well, we've got a couple CJD ones here for January 24th, if you want to do those.
Sure. Start right at the top, first 5? Second 5? Diagnosing CJD or just CJD post-vax?
Why don't we do diagnosing CJD? We have time for that.
Good. All right. Okay. Let's split this one in half here. Thank you for accepting me into the group. Now, this is the CJD Family Support Group on social media. I have not been officially diagnosed yet with this, but it has been raised. I started about 6 months ago with severe anxiety and depression. Then, 2 months ago, I developed insomnia, which progressed to no sleep for days on end, pretty quickly. And now just a week ago, I developed pins and needles in my legs and feet, then muscle spasms and myoclonus jerking, as well as severe pain, and my eyes have been having double or blurred vision episodes that come and go. But so far, my eyes do go back to normal within a few moments of these weird attacks. Now, today, I have developed severe bouts of sweating on and off, which is new for me. I'm 54 years old and had a bovine, this is interesting, bovine valve replacement in my heart last year and a fecal transplant after developing C. difficile, C. diff. So I definitely have a chance of having CJD. I would say so. However, the neurologists at the large university hospital in Chicago feel as though I would be so much sicker if I indeed had CJD. They say I would have a cognitive decline, which for now I definitely do not have any cognitive decline. My MRI/MRA was completely normal, but I have read that MRI/MRA can be normal in the beginning of CJD. My reflexes and neuro exam, all normal, even though I am having problems with dizziness and balance and my legs feel weak. But they say their physical exam of me does not show weakness, only myoclonus of legs and neuropathy of legs. Should this woman be driving? So these doctors feel they want to wait to do an EEG and spinal tap because my exam and MRI was normal, along with cognitive function. Doesn't sound normal to me. Sounds like this lady can at any moment fall into a medical emergency at the wheel and crash. As far as a bovine heart valve in a person, usually pork is what you hear. I've not heard of this before. Bovine runs the risk, of course, of mad cow prions. All right, go ahead.
I know none of you are doctors, but from your experiences with family members who had this disease, is it possible to have no cognitive deficits within the first 2 to 3 months of this disease? Can you also have a normal neuro exam, except for myoclonus jerking and peripheral neuropathy, and a normal MRI/MRA within the first 2 to 3 months of the onset of this? I will be looking for another opinion, but my anxiety is off the charts. And with one doctor suggesting this, but the rest who would do the testing say that it's not possible to have this, just leaves me even more anxious. By the way, the only drug I have found to help so far with the myoclonus, peripheral neuropathy, and even the anxiety has been Dilaudid, also known as hydromorphone, which is an opioid. It also has allowed me to get a little sleep and has toned down the myoclonus jerking and pain. Anyway, any input about what you would see 2 to 3 months into this disease would be greatly appreciated. Also, I know everyone is different, but if you could explain to me about when cognitive function begins to decline, I would greatly appreciate it. Thank you, everyone.
We should mention, these are going back to July 2021.
Yeah, so was no mention of the vax, but as we all know, the vax had been out about 7 months at that point.
Thanks to Donald Trump and Operation Warp Speed. The doctors are not yet sure that this is my problem, but they have said it can't be ruled out either. I'm so scared I can barely function. They did an MRI, EMG, and EEG, and so far, all that is normal. But they told me these tests could be normal at this stage of having CJD. So all they can do is watch me to see and how if I progress. I have terrible pain in my legs along with pins and needles, myoclonus, jerking, and muscle fasciculations. I have, honestly, myoclonus, M-Y-C-L-O-N-U-S, is it myo or myoclonus?
Yeah, myoclonus.
I see, you left
like
the
twitching.
O out. Right.
You know, sudden and, twitching, and, jerking.
And muscle fasciculations.
It's obviously
another. What is it?
Fasciculations.
Oh, she misspelled
she's
that too.
She misspelled it, yeah.
How do you expect me to? Never mind. All right. Some days I can get up to use my legs, and other days I can't. And again, I go back. So this lady's driving down the street, and all of a sudden, her legs become useless. It happens.
Well, hopefully she got somebody to give her a ride to these appointments, but...
Well, hopefully it wasn't Lori. All right. Another inside joke. My hands are now having pins and needles, too, that come and go, and it's getting harder to write. My mental status is just horrible. Anxiety and depression that no meds are working for. I am reacting horribly to most medications. They keep trying on me. I also do not sleep for days on end, and then I sleep for about a half hour, and I'm right back up. I do not have any dementia yet, but I can feel myself getting foggier as time goes on. Some days I can eat, and other days I'm either too sick to eat or have no appetite. I'm very weak all over. I'm so scared, waiting to see what's next and waiting for something to show up in a test to confirm this diagnosis. I don't want to die like this. Well, again, these people with these things are not being screened about driving or being out and about. Nothing. They're still free to do whatever they want. It's kind of an honors system. It's up to them. Will they have people drive them, or will they... I'm okay today. I'm going to drive to the store. I don't know. Not good. All right.
So there were some replies from people in this group. I'm so sorry you have to go through this. Please reach out to friends and family for support. My husband started having symptoms the last week of February, and all his tests came back normal. MRI, EEG, DAT scan, blood work, and even a spinal tap done on May 27th. It was when they did another MRI in July when they finally diagnosed CJD. I pray you do not have this disease. And she asked, can I ask what his symptoms were in the beginning until now? The answer, he was dizzy. He lost balance a week later, confused and lost his short-term memory, had trouble walking, trouble speaking in sentences, couldn't sit up. He had extreme fatigue. He couldn't feed himself. He stopped talking completely, became rigid, and then he stopped chewing. He still has his hearing and can understand what is said. He gets very frustrated because he can't move. I hold his hand, massage him, and that relaxes him. All this happened within 3 months. I recommend you keep a log of your symptoms and all your tests. It will help the doctor see the timeline of the progression. God bless you.
Yeah. Next post. My sister's scans all came back clear. They did a lumbar puncture, and part of that came back clear. Part of that came back clear. And they said they was doing further tests in Edinburgh. She's over in the UK. We then had doctors down from the Prion Clinic in London who confirmed it was CJD. I think that the experts who deal with this disease know what they are looking for, i.e. the ribboning in the brain, whereas the doctors that don't specialize in this disease do not know what to look for. All right, grab the next one, and I have to wrap it up.
Okay.
Number five.
This breaks my heart reading this. I am unbelievably sorry you're going through this. I hope you have emotional and moral support. Yes, those tests can still be normal. You have to let them know to do a lumbar puncture. That's the only way to be sure. I wish you all the best, sending you a hug. And the original poster says, they don't want to do or they won't do a lumbar puncture because I have a connective tissue disease that would leave me with a spinal leak. So there is no way for them to tell until it shows up in a test. I am getting a sleep study on the 22nd of this month to see if I am missing the K spindles, which would be indicative of a prion disease. I don't know what K spindles are.
No, I don't know. Maybe she meant to say something else.
EEG or... Yeah, that's out of my bandwidth. All right, next one says, I'm truly so sorry. I hope your sleep study will give you some answers. Not knowing must be terrifying. May I ask when you started to notice that something wasn't right? And if in the days and weeks something was different? An original poster says, I began to notice in the beginning of February that I was suffering with terrible insomnia and just felt like I was sick. Then I began to develop severe anxiety and depression. Then about 2 weeks ago, my legs started to feel like they were burning, and I had myoclonus jerking, muscle fasciculations, and pins and needles. I have also been having a hard time eating and being able to get up and walk. It is happening quite fast for me.
All right, the vax status of these people?
Oh, we don't know. We don't know.
Still,
it was 2021 where this conversation took place. So we have two possibilities. You know, the virus with its, you know, effects on the nervous system and the brain, or the shots.
Well, whatever it was, either or both, who knows, the neurology of the person is clearly under attack. And my goodness, if you could see their writing, forget grammar, forget punctuation, forget even the right words. Instead of happened, you got H-A-L-E-N. So it shows in the writing. It's right there.
Yeah. And, you know, arriving at a diagnosis is very difficult. You know, you cannot look at a brain and see holes in it and then tell somebody you got CJD.
No.
You know, you've got to put a lot of different criteria together and then arrive at a logical, a reasonable, presumptive diagnosis. You know,
exactly.
The more of this there is out there, though, the more astute they'll be getting at making the diagnosis. You know, a lot of the what's been diagnosed as Alzheimer's is actually CJD.
Correct.
And the only way to make the distinction is to do an autopsy and then look at the brain, you know.
Well, I remember years ago the director of the National Alzheimer's Association here said flat out, he said, I think it was 20% or maybe more, 20% of the Alzheimer's deaths in America are actually mad cow. That's what he said.
Yeah,
this is the president.
Yeah, the same. Yep.
Yeah. So there you go. All right, this is prion disease, dear friends, and it is spreading. We'll keep watching it for you. We have much to talk about next time on Friday. Muscle wasting, that's another one that's spreading. That's becoming too common. Thank you. Good job, as always. Got to run. We're late. Talk
okay.
soon.
All right. Thanks, Jeff. Okay. Good night, everyone.
And we'll be right back with more. Hang on.